we saw Tiki Barber's comments. You know, I guess my thing is Tiki Barber, you know, and no disrespect to Tiki Barber's football career. You got to shut up.
Yeah.
You got to stop talking. Like, we don't care.
Here, dude. Like,
we do not care, Tiki Barber.
When you're an old guy and a young guy, a young brother is up and coming, making it, doing his thing. If you're just going to speak negativity, you're just going to look like a hater.
Yeah, why are you talking at all?
You're just going to look like a hater. So what was even the point of that? Like, what was even the philosophy of that thinking? At your grown age, too, is ridiculous.
What I have found to be the most common factor with the players who go ball out in the NFL and they find success long term, they all hold themselves to the highest standard. They are as disciplined as they come. It's not the talent thing. The guys who want to go play in the NFL and are willing to do the work to go play in the NFL often are the ones that'll do it.
The Saquon stuff is real cool. I know. I mean, big time for any PA guy to get back in Pennsylvania and play football, whether that be for the Steelers, the Eagles, or whoever.
Yep.
I mean, that's huge. But I'm a little more excited, to be honest, to say that PJ Mustapher signed with the Eagles, one-year deal. We live with PJ. He's my roommate for almost 3 years. And I mean, I've seen this guy eat my cheesecakes. I've seen this guy jiggle his belly multiple times.
Yep.
Not even intentionally from time to time, just in general footsteps.
Just shakes all of them. Yeah.
He broke our couch by sitting down on it. So if you're PJ Mustapher, if you're watching this, we are so proud of you.
But
also, you get fined for not making weight in the NFL. So just keep that in mind.
College football tees, college basketball tees, whatever you need, Mercury has you covered with the best merch out there. We're talking about high quality clothing, inexpensive, and the best part is I have a 15% discount for everybody who goes and gets some right now. Use the code below, hit the link in the description, and go get your merch now. Use the code to get 15% off. What are you waiting on? Go do it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another episode of The Lion's Den. I am joined I'm very grateful to be joined by my friend Nick Dawkins today. This is a Friday night. My dog has practice in the morning. He is in here sacrificing his time before practice. So, Nick, thank you for being here with us again on the Lion's Den.
Yeah, you're making it sound like this is like a glorious revolution of my time. You know, we're just going to get in here, talk a little bit. I was going to talk probably for a little bit anyway, so I'm glad we're able to do it on camera, bring some content to the viewers, and most importantly, sit down with the genius himself, Aeneas Hawkins.
The genius. No, I appreciate the title there. I guess I'll ask you straight up. So we're at almost the halfway point of spring ball. You guys have been practicing for a while now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, practice tomorrow. What insight can you give us to how things have been going?
I mean, just really, really exciting, to be honest with you, man. Like, when I think about my past spring balls, I mean, I'm old head now on the team, so I've gone through a couple of them. This has to be one of the most competitive spring balls we've had as far as the offense and defense goes. I mean, our scheme with Coach K and just the energy he's brought to our team has just been tremendous. He truly just understands our scheme and understands our guys. I think he really plays to our strengths on the Penn State offense, and it doesn't hurt us either that our quarterbacks and running backs are vets now and are playing at an elite level. So it's been really exciting to see everybody compete, see the young guys get after it. And then Coach Allen, too. I mean, you're talking about a head coach that was at another elite program at Indiana in the Big Ten competing with us. And to see what he brings to the table, to Penn State now, coming from a head coach to a coordinator and a position coach, it's just been exciting to see. And he just both of those guys, pure energy. And can't forget about Coach Stig, Coach Lustig, coming from Vanderbilt, special teams coordinator. I mean, we call offense, defense, we-fence, special teams. I think that's kind of like a big thing for special team coordinators around any school. Like, they bring like a crazy amount of juice, like a crazy amount of energy to the meetings, keeping guys really invested in special teams, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to get a lot of guys into the NFL. Like, the NFL only cares a certain amount of guys, and if you can't play special teams, you're not playing. You're probably getting cut or you're getting sent to that scout team. So
yeah, and that's one of the things that the entire staff really harps on, and they've harped on for so long. It doesn't matter what type of guy you are, if you're the star player on the team, if you're a role player, they want guys on special teams competing no matter who you are. Like you said, that's the key for so many people in the league where it's hard to differentiate talent-wise from other guys.
Yeah.
Being able to play special teams and having done that at the college level is a great way to differentiate. I mean, there are guys that we played with who are in the NFL that you may not even know are in the NFL and have been on special teams roles for years. I mean, Dan Chisena was a walk-on, didn't really play much a receiver here, but he's been playing in the NFL for 3-4 years now, and he's been making a good living doing it.
Yeah, guys like Cam Brown, obviously, with the Giants, and then now even the guys that I played with most recently, like John Sutherland, who's been in the league for a long, long time because of his contributions on special teams. And then anything, your versatility shows your value to a team or to a business or to anything. So you completely dominate on special teams, you're going to be more inclined to give you some reps on defense or on offense or your respective position.
I want to swing back to what you said about Coach K and the offense. Not only are you on the offense, you are the center of the offense. You're communicating with the O-line pre-snap every play. Mm-hmm. You're communicating with the quarterback. You're a central piece in that communication and getting that offense going. How have you guys been able to transition under a new OC, and what's made that successful so far?
Really him, because he's a natural teacher. Like, he really he understands how to – there's one thing to know something, like you know it, but to be able to take that and really dumb it down – almost to a sense, for us to all understand it and be cohesive is important. So his schemes to the naked eye or to defenses are like, oh my God, what is going on here? Like, what, all these twists and motions and alignments and realignments and shifts, and that's tough. That's tough because you're trying to really diagnose the front and make move calls and set the front to the strength and such, and he dresses it up real well. And but for us, it's really easy to understand. And I think that just comes with how he teaches it. I think that comes with the communication coming from Drew and Bo, and then, you know, from myself and the offensive line guys taking advantage of our time to really learn to call and learn to play in the offseason.
Yeah. I want to look at the other side of the ball. You mentioned that this spring, more so than other ones, has been super-duper competitive throughout the entire duration mm-hmm. of spring ball. What has Tom Allen brought to that defense? Obviously, you replaced Manny Diaz, potentially the best defensive coordinator in the country mm-hmm. the past two seasons. How have you seen that group transition, and what's allowed them to keep it competitive in practice?
Really gritty. I mean, it's a really gritty defense, and I think you kind of get, when you have a DC like that, you get a little complacent because you're like, oh, he's going to get us in the right formation. He's going to get us in the right call. But I feel as though, like, Coach Allen, I mean, although, like, probably similar, like, in terms of, like, scheme and such like that. I mean, Corey runs so many different defenses, of course, and so many different twists and stunts and pressures and all that. But I think his leadership style allows leaders within the defense to almost take charge,
right?
Which is really important, I think. I think it's to have, like, a strong mic, to have a strong D-tackle that's very vocal, like Devon, like Tyler Ellison, like Kobe King, and then to have safeties like K.J. Winston, and Jerry Reed, who really can just, you know, set the front, set the standard for the defense, is important because, I mean, player-led teams always go the farthest. You know what I mean? When you depend on a coach to take you somewhere, you only go as far as where the coach takes you. But when you have guys that are willing to lead and you have guys that are willing to invest into a championship-level team, that's what you're going to get out of them.
Yeah. So much of having a player-led team has to do with culture. Like, that's what culture is, actually. Mm-hmm. If you break it down to what we're actually talking about, it's guys on the team who understand the expectation and they hold themselves and the rest of their peers accountable. That's important to have. I mean, not just Tom Allen, but Manny Diaz, all the way back to my dog, Brent Pry.
Yeah.
There's been a culture of leaders in that D coordinator spot for quite a while at this point. And that's how you continue to turn out these veteran leaders who are perfect in transition from coordinator to coordinator. So it kind of has played off of itself. I'm excited to see that group. You mentioned some of the young guys who are competing at a high level. As one of the vets on the team, who are some guys that we should be talking about after their performance this spring thus far?
I mean, I'm really excited to see Andrew Yabouye. Man, he works his dang tail off, man. He works his tail off. Obviously, if you watched last year, you got to see some flashes of Jameel Lyons.
Yep.
Jameel Lyons is a real dominant D, and I love how he plays the run, specifically pulls. He plays a pull real strong and really sets – he doesn't try to just wrong short or avoid. He really sets the edges and gives it to the puller, which usually when you're pulling, you're thinking, oh, I'm about to get him. Like, I'm blindsided. You don't know what's coming. You try to light somebody up. But when they bring it to you, I mean, that definitely sets the example and standard for a defense. And Luke Reynolds, to be honest with you, I know that I said two tight ends, it might be a cop out, but I love his mentality. He reminds me of a young Tyler Warren.
Young Tyler Warren.
Guy who just comes in, is quiet, puts his head down, works, asks questions, learns, and understands what it is to be a great football player. I'm excited to see him.
What is it about Penn State football and recruiting these giant, massive tight ends who come in and they ball out early and they go dominate the NFL?
I mean, we have Coach Howell here. Coach Howell, a letterman at Penn State, loves the school and wants to bring in the right guys. And when you have a room like that, it's infectious. Look at, like, the last couple guys I think of, like, who have been here since I've been here. I mean, obviously, you have Pat, you have Brenton, you have Theo now who's going out, Ty Warren coming back. Tight ends, and I mean, recruits, like, smart recruits, they aren't dumb. Right. They're going to look at the depth chart. They're going to look at and see what teams are producing top-tier NFL talent, top-tier college All-Americans and all-conference guys, and see that like a school like Penn State's doing that, you have to make, if you want to be at that level and that coach is still there, it's not a bad decision to go ahead and head over there and get that coaching.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's a culture there. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Because like you said, as a recruit, you're well aware of the schools that are producing the most NFL talent. I remember even just being a D lineman. There were certain schools where you knew, okay, these are the places that you go if you're serious about going and playing in the NFL and getting developed. Recruits are a lot smarter than you think. There's so much information on social media. You can see so much of what really goes on. There's probably more access now that recruits are given than at any other point in time, I'd say.
And real talk, man, that's one thing I didn't do well, or I did too much, and I overstimulated myself. I look at like rosters, I'm like, man, I can't play here. Like, I can't.
Right.
I'll never be able to play at Alabama. I'll never be able to play at like Tennessee or something like that. But that's kind of probably what held me back too in my growth when I first got to Penn State was I was scared, to be honest with you. I was scared of guys and like how I would fare against them, and I overcomplicated myself and got too much in my head. And then once you get older, obviously, and you get those reps, you be like, oh, it's just football at the end of the day. But I think I got in my health. And you're 18 years old, obviously, right. 17, 18 years old, 16. Some guys, 16, when they make that decision. I will say, though, the only guy that didn't really fear me was you, probably, when I was suiting up those pads. I knew I had one there.
No, that's, first of all, that's cap. I think I don't know if you beat me in a rep until your second year.
I'll say
as
this.
As a matter of fact.
I mean, you're probably, what, 3 years older than me?
2 years older.
No, 2 years older than me. I'll say this. I mean, you definitely beat me, but you didn't strike fear in my heart.
Okay.
Yeah, you might have got me like because of like
I'm
some
cool
speed,
with that middle ground.
Some speed and technique, but
weren't scared at any point.
You absolutely not. Yeah. I think you might. I'm not even just saying this. In skill instruction in the summer 2020, you were my first win.
Listen up. Are you paying too much for health insurance? Are you tired of reading these long, extensive policies the health insurance companies put out? Meet Patrick Mowdy of Mowdy Health. He's a Penn State letterman. Patrick leverages years of experience to offer customized insurance solutions. Those solutions help you develop a coverage game plan to cover the safety and well-being of you and your family. Mowdy Health, one broker, endless solutions.
Was I your first ever win?
Yeah.
That's ironic. You know, you were my first win and something else, too.
Yeah, but it's a little more sad for you because I was 17 and you were, like, 20.
Yeah, 20. Yeah. 20. Now, again, I'm not sure how we get off on this tangent again. This seems to happen every episode and it needs to stop. Before I start pulling out film receipts, you know what I mean? Because I got some wins.
I'll be first to admit, you beat me. But, again, you were significantly older than me. You should not have even been going against me. You should have been going against people who were playing or at your age.
Like, I was
stealing reps from me. You're stealing reps from me.
Like, there was a point in my career where there was just a group of guys I knew I couldn't beat in like one-on-one pass pro at a certain point. I just had bad odds there. So I would line up only against kids that I felt like I had advantage with.
I get it, man. You need a confidence boost too, but at that point, that's when you just hang them up.
And
that's what...
Inevitably. I don't know how we got to this topic again. Now I'm off topic. What else is new in Nick Dawkins' life right now?
What else is new in Nick Dawkins' life? Not much, man. Just complete and full investment in football. And I've seen a complete payoff from that. I feel like guys always talk about, like, the college experience and talk about, real talk. People love Penn State. People who come here, alumni, they come here and they love Penn State. Mm-hmm. Love everything about it. They're older. They come back. They want their kids to go here.
Yep.
They want their family to go here. They want to come back and just be here and be around the atmosphere. They come to games. Most football players do not feel that way. I'll be honest.
But why is that? Okay, talk me through that.
Because you don't have the same experience as everybody else. So
okay.
If a guy, like let's say a normal student goes out to a bar or goes somewhere and it's like a random day. It's whatever. Nobody cares.
Right.
Who cares?
Nobody
you're at
cares.
The bar. You're doing what you want to do. You're a college kid. You're probably of age.
Right.
You're at a bar. You're
this
doing
is
what
expected
you do.
Of you. Yeah. Right.
If a football player is there, one, you're the biggest dude probably in there.
Right.
So if you're already drawing eyes there, two, most likely don't have a good fashion sense. Probably wearing some sort of Penn State football apparel or gear.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep. That was my specialty. I love doing that. But
yeah.
Keep going.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go into that a little more as to why you do that too, the philosophy and ideology.
Carry on.
So when you're there and you're drawing attention,
people
are going to talk about it, and then you don't have the same experience as maybe somebody else does. And for me personally, my college experience was always just football, football, football. And I wasn't even really looking for that. I was looking for making, like, friends in other areas of school.
Okay.
Like, having friends that don't just play football, don't just play basketball, don't just play a sport, really. Get right. stuck in that student-athlete bubble. And that's not something that I really got done until my last year here.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was good for me socially. It was good for me mentally, too, to have almost, like, a vault or, like, an alley away from football
away
a little
from
bit,
football.
Like,
yeah.
having that segment away.
Yeah.
But I had to find balance in this last year, right? So my fifth year now, I found that, like, it's healthy to have relationships outside of football.
Yeah.
But it's healthy to have relationships in football, too. I feel like maybe I went a little bit too far away, or maybe I was too in. But I feel like I have that perfect balance now.
Yeah.
Of when I'm there, there's nothing else that matters to me. Only perfecting my craft. Only being at the best possible position, the best possible just everything so that I can play the best football, so I can win a championship here for my team and take care of my family and set myself up to go to the NFL.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we forget our why, and I think that's what I was doing my first three years here, really. I wasn't as focused on the prize as I thought I was, and I didn't really see it until I really started buying it now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pulling a lot of time now at the facility. I learned from, like, Juice Scruggs and Hunter Norzad, spent hours in the facility just getting their body right, focused on little things like their sleep and their nutrition, which was something that I was never really bad at, but I wasn't good at it. And now that I'm good at it, I'm seeing it pay off.
Yeah.
And I just, I wish I would have done it sooner. I thought I was doing it, but I'm starting to see it pay off.
Yeah, and you don't know till you know. You know, yeah, sometimes you got to experience that, and then, you know, the things like sleep and recovery that, like, when you're a freshman, you hear Coach Franklin pounding his fist on the table about, mm-hmm. you don't really get to reap the rewards of doing those things unless you do them consistently.
Yes, 100%.
And a lot of times it takes guys years before mm-hmm. they get to that point, like you're kind of describing. So another thing I want to talk about, you talked about maybe being too invested in just football mm-hmm. and then maybe being too invested the other way.
Yeah.
The reality is, like, you can't really be where your feet are, whether it's at football or in class or with your friends, unless you have some type of balance. Balance is the only way you can truly, I feel like, put in sectors and prioritize the things that you're doing in that moment. Mm. Because when you're too far one way or the other, your mind is chaos. There's no routine. And that's so important to you know, just overall development and well-being of student-athletes.
I mean, through, and something that, you know, I always thought I was a wise guy. Like, not like a wise guy.
You definitely
guy,
have
like,
always thought you yeah, were a wise guy.
I thought I was smarter than a lot of people.
Okay.
And I always thought that I knew more because of adversity or experiences that I faced in my life. And as I'm getting older now, I realize how dumb I was to even think like that and how dumb I am to think that I'm smart now, because there's so much more to learn. But those are all things that I really had to learn now. Like, now I feel, like, the growth. I see it. I invest in that. We talked about it with Tyler Elton on that episode, but the consistency in the little things that we do. And I don't know why it took me so long to really pick up on that and to pick up those things, because at the time I really thought that I was, even from at that time, I probably looked like I was doing what I was supposed to do, like handling my business,
yeah.
like investing in stuff.
But yeah.
it just looks so different once you see the results that you get when you truly do it. And I think now, even as I'm older, I'm an old head on the team, like, I just understand why I do what I do now. Like,
yeah.
to be able to, when I go home now, it's not just going home to be off from football.
Yeah.
To hang out. Like, I'm going home and I'm thinking about, like, taking care of my family. I'm thinking about, like, what move can I make? What work can I put in to make sure that my mom and my sisters never have to work again?
Right.
Which is something that I thought about, but I didn't truly invest in until now.
Yeah, until your why mm-hmm. is clear as day. It can be hard to be consistent about all those. I mean, the things that you're being asked to do are not easy.
No.
And, I was around you when you were a young player. You were always a guy who did handle his business the right way. I don't think you were ever not that guy, but there's definitely levels to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And as a coaching staff, you can give everybody the message, but you can't truly police everybody's day-to-day behavior and activity when you have 100 guys on a team. It's not possible mm-hmm. to be done. So
yeah.
what I have found to be the most common factor with the players who go ball out in the NFL and they find success long term, they all hold themselves to the highest standard. They are as disciplined as they come.
Yes.
You mentioned Juice Scruggs. You mentioned Jonathan Sutherland. There was not a time that I was in the Lash football building that it felt like Juice Scruggs and Jonathan Sutherland weren't already in there doing some type of maintenance or doing some type of rehab to make sure their bodies were right, constantly studying film. That's really what it takes if you want to go to the next level. And I think what differentiates a lot of college football players when you get to a Power 5 level is not the talent thing. Mm-hmm. It's not the talent thing. The guys who want to go play in the NFL and are willing to do the work to go play in the NFL often are the ones that will do it. Granted, everybody stays healthy and everything's equal.
Yes, well, and I think a common theme with those guys too, and not to get too deep into it, but like your faith, I think buying into a purpose that is greater than yourself. Maybe that's Christianity for some people. Maybe that's Judaism, Catholicism, Islam, whatever it is for you. Or maybe it's just the idea of wanting to get better for some people. But I know that my relationship with God has grown so much over this time, and I'm seeing it pay dividends, not just in football, but in my life. I feel myself becoming a better man.
Yeah.
I feel myself being able to impact others differently and connect with others in a different way. And that's just something that has personally helped me, is my strengthening my connection with God. I lead a team Bible study, me and Coach T.
Awesome.
Coach Tyrone Smith, for those who don't
know.
Shout
out Coach T.
Man, we have like, 30, 40 guys, and guys are coming in growing. And I think like when you can build that spiritual connection, not only with other guys, but when you bring that spiritual connection to yourself and get right mentally, physically, and spiritually, which was a piece I was missing too, you just feel yourself grow. And that's what it's been like recently for me. Yeah. What about you? What's going on in Aeneas Hawkins' world?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, what's the next big move?
Yeah, so, I mean, for those who don't know, my 9-to-5, what I wake up and I do every day is Limitless NIL. I co-founded it. It's a marketing agency. I started it with Sean Clifford, who some of you back home may know. And that's what I do day in and day out. I love it. It's really... I enjoy the business aspect of things and being able to challenge myself with new situations and new scenarios that I haven't had to work through before. I didn't go to grad school. Yeah. I didn't study business in school. So for me, this has kind of been like a master's degree on steroids with real life experience and going and doing that. So that's one thing. The other thing I'd say is just getting ready to pump some more content. I've got some cool things coming with Mercury coming down the pipe on the social media side of things. So it's really a balance of, hey, pushing myself in business, pushing myself in media, and seeing what's next. I think so much of being done playing football has been figuring out what makes me tick. Mm-hmm. I'm a guy who is going to give you much higher quality level of work if I'm invested and I'm passionate about what I'm doing. So I don't want to live in a world where I'm doing something that I don't really care about or something that I don't find a fulfillment in. So for me, a lot of times it's working with athletes and trying to help them get paid and teach them how to keep their money. And then the flip side of it is I love talking ball. I'm a sports fanatic, so this has been a lot of fun for me.
I mean, what's your plan, though? Like, where do you plan to end up? What's your ultimate, like, what do you want to do?
What is the ultimate goal?
Like, what do you want to do?
I want to do everything that my mind, my heart's desire. I want to build enough freedom through some grit and some hard work right now to be able to leverage and push to do other things. I want to do sports media.
Yeah.
I want to do that full time at some point. Mm-hmm. I want to shift away from that. Maybe I want to do my own business. I want to start another business. Maybe I want to do some acting. Maybe I want to do voiceovers. I really just want to experience a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so much that I'm passionate about. And the interesting thing about it to me is like, I was only ever passionate about football and playing football from the time I was a kid. I was born, and it's not like I chose that my dad was an NFL cornerback and that his little brother would play 10 years in the NFL. That was all I was ever around. So football was all I saw for so long that now my eyes are just now, for the first time in 23 years, being opened to all the other different things that I find cool and interesting. So, yeah, man, master plan is do whatever I feel like doing.
Yeah, and that was a long way to say it, too, man. That's all you had to say. You know what I mean? Like, that's
oh, man, this is Hawk and Doc, man. It's crazy, man. And I want to emphasize this again. Nick Dawkins came in, a snot-nosed 17-year-old kid, asking for help, asking for advice. Who was there day in and day out? It was Aeneas Hawkins. And he can't deny that. And now, when the cameras get brought out and Nick Dawkins has a couple more tattoos and he's taking some more reps at center than ever before, I'm getting attacked on camera. It doesn't make sense to me.
I'll say this. You said I can't deny that. I can completely deny that. That's not the truth. But did I come in snotty-nosed? Absolutely not. Do you even know what that means? Not really. Was I asking questions and asking for advice? 100%. But not from somebody who was at the same level as me when I entered.
No, you know what
I
mean? Don't start.
What does Kanye West say? I don't take advice from people who are less successful than me. You
wow.
know what I mean?
That was your mentality at 17, coming in from Allentown.
Yeah, I mean, not even a smart guy, but just knowing, like, right. Okay, I know what it's supposed to look like.
That's not it.
And I'm looking at you, uh-huh. And I'm like, I can't be that. You know what I mean? I can't do, no, I'm playing.
That's fair, man.
No, but I mean, I alluded to it a little bit before, though, like, Your ability to connect with people and your ability to hold court and hold conversation is really a superpower. How you're able to, BS stuff like on the fly like that is also pretty crazy. Like, you could tell this guy, we could go somewhere and be like, yo, before we walk in this building, you're a whale expert. So just know that when we walk in there, these people are expecting you to be a whale expert. And this guy could probably give you an hour long, like,
no.
just dissertation on whales somehow. And pull it straight out of his tail. It's actually kind of ridiculous, but it's also kind of scary. And to actually see it happen from time to time is concerning, but it makes you kind of want to do it too. See, so like when he said acting, I'm like, this guy already plays a role every day anyway. I don't really know who I'm talking to right now, to be quite honest with you. Like, he may be acting right now.
You
see that fake laugh he just busted out and then went right back to normal? Like, it's kind of ridiculous. So just keep that in mind. I don't know if he's ever in character or what he's got going on, if whatever this is.
Whatever that means.
Yep.
We got some other news going on with some Penn State guys around the league. The biggest piece of news, and I know you're from Allentown, so I want your take on this. Saquon Barkley joined the Philadelphia Eagles. We saw Tiki Barber's comments. I guess we don't really need to discuss them. I think they're so ridiculous that I kind of want to discuss them.
Yeah, we can talk about
them. I guess my thing is Tiki Barber. You know, and no disrespect to Tiki Barber's football career, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, Tiki Barber was Tiki Barber. When I was a kid, when I was 5, 6 years old, I knew exactly who Tiki Barber was.
He was in the league. Man, you were in the league. You played. Like, you were a great football player at the time.
You got to shut up.
Yeah,
you got to stop talking.
Like,
we don't care.
Real here, dude. Like,
we do not care, Tiki Barber, okay? And I speak for all of Penn State. I don't think I have permission to speak for Saquon Barkley, but Tiki Barber, we didn't ask you what you were thinking.
I'll say this, too. I mean, I feel like your statement probably holds as much weight as my statement, which is nothing.
Nothing.
You know what I mean? Like, no one cares what we have to say, brother. You know what I mean? We got to keep that on the hush, on the down low.
Go ahead, please.
Especially when you're an old guy and a young brother is up and coming, making it, doing his thing, if you're just going to speak negativity, you're just going
to
look like a hater.
Yeah, why are you talking at all?
You're just going to look like a hater. Nothing about that is going to impact anybody in a positive way or help you or anybody in your career at all. So what was even the point of that? Like, what was even the philosophy of that thinking? At your grown age, too, is ridiculous. But
we digress. As far as Saquon Barkley, the Eagle, being from Allentown, how excited are the people of Philadelphia to have Saquon Barkley and the Eagles jersey?
I wouldn't be able to tell you because I'm from Allentown.
That's like
DC.
That's close enough.
Is it?
Who else are you rooting for in Allentown other than the Philadelphia Eagles?
The Lehigh Valley Phantoms and the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. We have two professional sports teams in Allentown.
Right.
So let's put some respect on that.
Okay.
Let's put some respect on that.
Forgive me, Allentown. What were the team names? Who are they?
The Lehigh Valley Phantoms and the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs.
Forgive me.
So we have our own teams. I mean, Philly's cool and all that, but we're not Philadelphia. We are Allentown.
So you're not
the Queen City.
They call you guys the Queen City?
Look it up.
That's what they call Cincinnati, ironically, and I'm sure.
Probably not.
No, that's
probably the Princess City compared to Allentown, man. That's just the reality. That's just the reality.
Listen up. Are you paying too much for health insurance? Are you tired of reading these long, extensive policies the health insurance companies put out? Meet Patrick Mowdy of Mowdy Health. He's a Penn State letterman. Patrick leverages years of experience to offer customized insurance solutions. Those solutions help you develop a coverage game plan to cover the safety and well-being of you and your family. Mowdy Health, one broker, endless solutions.
The Saquon stuff is real cool. I know, I mean, big time for any PA guy to get back in Pennsylvania and play football, whether that be for the Steelers, the Eagles, or whoever.
Yep.
I mean, that's huge. But I'm a little more excited, to be honest, to say that PJ Mustapher signed with the Eagles, one-year deal. Man, I just think it's a great move, and I Saquon's obviously a Penn State great, but I just am more connected to...
We live with P.
Yeah, we live with PJ. He's my roommate for almost 3 years, and... Yeah. I mean, I've seen this guy eat my cheesecakes. I've seen this guy jiggle his belly multiple times.
Yep.
Not even intentionally from time to time, just in general footsteps.
Just shakes all of them. Yeah.
He broke our couch by sitting down on it.
Yep.
I mean, you don't, those experiences, those go a long way in your journey to success.
They do.
So if you, PJ Munster, if you're watching this, we are so proud of you.
So proud.
But also, you get fined for not making weight in the NFL. So just keep that in mind. Your journey with
don't
the
forget
Eagles.
That, please.
Do not forget that.
Oh, man. So I just saw PJ. I live in Downingtown, so not too far from Lincoln Financial. So I pulled up on him the night before he signed. He's fired up.
Yeah.
I think it's cool because, as you know, PJ Musfer, ladies and gentlemen, who have forgotten about that man before he was injured, that trajectory he was on that year he got hurt was a first team All Big Ten, second, third round selection, I would think.
Yeah.
He was playing high level football and he is finally looking and feeling healthy. So excited for him. Big opportunity. Obviously, that D line is stacked. You'll be playing with Jalen Carter and some other guys over there that are real deal ball players. But I think he also is a perfect culture guy for the Eagles.
I'll say this. You just said that their D line is stacked. Name another player on the D line.
Jordan Davis.
Number one.
Hassan Reddick.
No more.
I don't know. That's pretty good, though.
Man, that was good out the cup.
I'm locked in.
Okay.
Come on.
I respect that.
Yeah, I'm locked in.
You could have said anybody, though. I really don't know.
You wouldn't know either.
I wouldn't know. Okay. So you could have said anybody, but I'm glad that you. See, this is the BS I'm talking about. Because when he said it, he didn't know. But in that quick train of thought, his wittiness kicked in and some random names appeared in his head.
Whatever, man. I don't know what we're talking about anymore. I don't have any other questions for you. To the viewers back home, thank you for joining us. This was an off-the-cuff episode. Obviously, practice in the morning. We appreciate you pulling up. Spring game's coming up.
Spring game's
Are you getting
up.
Excited?
I am getting excited. April 13th. Please come by. We apologize for the quick episode, too. This is completely and utterly on Nick Dawkins, on myself. But I'm trying to get proper sleep. I'm pretty sure you guys can deal with a quick episode in order for a good, lengthy, long season full of wins. For, you know, my little things like sleep that I emphasized before. So, you know, again, I apologize for the quick one. I know this is out of character for the guys, but then again, maybe we have your attention span for a little longer now. If we maybe cut down on episodes and cover points that you can leave in the comments. So if you made it to this far in the video or in the podcast, please email me, send a carrier pigeon, smoke signals. Graffiti Hawks Kia Optima.
Kia Optima.
Kia Optima. Maybe graffiti ideas or questions or topics that you want us to cover. I keep hearing people say they want Drew Aller on the pod. You want Nick Singleton on the pod. How about you go harass them in their comment sections and message them and let them know if you want them on the Lions Den podcast. But again, apologize for the short, quick episode. We covered some things. I don't know. We might have just yapped and rambled a little bit. But thank you for joining us. Please cop the merchandise. The link will be below on all social media platforms. And thank you for joining us again.